Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much, excuse me, for taking time out of your busy life today and join me on my radio program. Today is Thursday, July 7th, 2022. On The Cross in the Desert this morning, I want to focus in on the horror, the Christian persecution, and the genocide that is happening in Nigeria. Going to do a special report on that and the failure of the Biden administration to come on board and make a change in the lives of just thousands and perhaps millions of Christians in Nigeria. And on the theme of persecution this morning, I want to feature right now a special report prepared by CBN on the International Religious Freedom Summit that was recently in Washington just last weekend. And after you hear this report, I got a very exciting special announcement to make. So first, I want us to hear, in the theme of religious persecution this morning, a special report by CBN. Let's listen.
Ambassador Sam Brownback, former ambassador at large for religious freedom, is co-chair of the summit, and he joins us now to discuss. Ambassador, it's a rarity to see people across the political aisle and ideologies share the same event stage. What is it about this event that brings together people from Nancy Pelosi and Mike Pompeo to the Ukrainian ambassador and the chief rabbi of Moscow?
I think it's the persecution level. People are persecuted for their faith around the world, and I believe it's the largest persecution of human rights of any human right around the world. It's of people of faith. You've got literally billions of people in the world living in an environment where their religious freedom is restricted, is harmed, where there are attacks taking place, like in Nigeria, where you just had a church where 41 people were gunned down. I think it's just the pervasiveness of the persecution, along with the pervasiveness of faith. 80% of the world's population believes in something beyond themselves. They have a faith that operates in their lives, and the combination of those two draws people together to stand for people that are persecuted.
Ambassador, as you just cited, about 8 in 10 people in the world's population lives where there are high levels of restrictions on religion, whether that's governmentally or societally, and those restrictions are steadily increasing. What countries and what parts of the world are the most concerning when it comes to religious freedom today?
You know, I give two examples in that, although there are a lot of them. China, because they're really testing the new models, the virtual police state, where they can observe everybody and track everybody and put those in concentration camps that they don't like. And then I'd give you an example of Nigeria, where you really got a militant Islamic fundamentalist group going after Christians and just killing them. This last weekend, two more Catholic priests were gunned down in Nigeria, and this just keeps going on, and the scale of it gets bigger and bigger, and it's deadly.
You've said in the past if you can persuade global policymakers to see the importance of promoting religious freedom, that it can actually help to reduce terrorism and boost the economy. Can you explain that?
You know, if you don't have religious freedom around the world for everybody, every time, all the time, and governments enforce that, you are going to have the clash of civilizations. You're going to see more Burmas where you've got a Buddhist majority kicking out a Muslim minority. You're going to see more situations like in China of the, what's taking place with the Uyghurs and the Chinese atheistic government trying to put down a religious group. You're going to see more battling in Africa between Muslims and really fundamentalist militant Muslims and Christians. That's if you don't guarantee religious freedom. If you do guarantee religious freedom and the government see to that, I think you're going to see a flourishing of people and a flourishing really of peace and prosperity. Not everywhere, but it's going to be a lot better. I mean, those are the two paths that we've got to choose from around the world.
Ambassador, the United States has been raising this issue for generations. How much of a difference is it making if advocacy, diplomacy, legislation don't seem to be changing the behavior of those in power in countries of concern? And we only have about a minute left.
You know, I've thought that myself. I thought, well, maybe we've just failed. But we haven't. You can go to places, and I just talked to a gentleman today saying, if you guys hadn't been pushing for this, we would have a lot more people dead in our country, because the government there would have gone ahead and killed them or arrested a bunch of them. So I think we've been successful. I just think the level of persecution that governments have done and societies have has increased substantially.
All right, Ambassador Sam Brownback, 2022 co-chair of the International Religious Freedom Summit. We thank you so much for your insights, and thank you for the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Very grateful for Senator Brownback being an advocate for this very important issue. All across the globe, there should be the freedom to worship, regardless of what other people think and how people view what you worship. You should have the freedom of religion, especially here in the United States. Now, speaking on the issue of religious freedom, it was at this summit, the International Religious Freedom Summit in Washington, last Friday, that I got the surprise of my life. It was truly an incredible answer to prayer. I got a notification from my friend Dee Dee Lagesson of Save the Persecuted Christians. It's an organization where she works tirelessly and becomes a voice for persecuted Christians. And on my Facebook notification, I saw her at this summit standing next to my dear Iranian friend that I haven't talked to in over 2 years, and it was a picture of Mary Mohammadi. What an answer for prayer. I learned about Mary and her story back in 2018 when I was writing a book with Manoush Bakhtiari, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. In my book, there was her story. Mary has quite an experience I just want to share with you. Now, those of you that follow my face, know about my radio program, you know the name Mary Mohammadi. You know about her. She had been imprisoned twice in Iran. The first time was when she converted from Islam to Christianity. She was sent to Evin prison, and she was psychologically harassed. And even after she was finally let out, they would call her parents at home. They would warn them, you better take care of your young daughter, because if she comes back in this prison again, she'll never get out. And it was just a couple of years later that Mary, who is a strong voice for religious freedom in Iran, and especially she wanted the Christians to have their own above-the-ground church and not have to meet secretly. She was working hard on that project. The Ukrainian plane that was shot down in January of 2020, Mary and every Iranian was just outraged. This plane could be shot down. The government said it was an accident. Well, Mary and thousands of Iranians met there in Tehran to protest, and it was there that she was rearrested, beaten, and tortured, and sent to Korchak prison. And this was right at the beginning of the outbreak of COVID, and it was just a month or so later that miraculously, in answer to prayer, Mary was allowed to leave that prison, and I was reestablishing my contact with her and finding out what was going on. Of course, things were just very dangerous for her. I created a page on Facebook entitled Praying for Mary Mohammadi. It was a special group page where you could come and I would give you updates on Mary and you could pray for her. Well, let me tell you what, Facebook friends, your prayers have been answered. Our prayers have been answered. It seems like some very, very powerful people in the Save the Persecuted Church, Save the Persecuted Christians organization were able to secure Mary's release to get out of Iran and come here where she can proudly stand. Her cause is religious freedom, where she can now lift her voice up and sound the alarm about religious freedom all over the globe, and she's living here now in the United States, and what an incredible answer to prayer. I hope I can reestablish my connection with her. She's only been here a week, and I don't know the entire story behind how she was smuggled or got released from Iran. I really don't know that story, and I'm hoping to find out more details. But I wanted to share this with you just as a perfect illustration how God does hear and answer our prayers. It's taken a long time, but Mary has finally achieved the goal of her life, and that is religious freedom. I know her heart breaks for those Christians left behind in Iran, and she will continue to be their voice in some form or another. But she's here now, and she truly has religious freedom for the ultimate way, the ultimate sense. And now I want to transition from that amazing story to a one that really, really burdens my soul. And it's the story of the Nigerian Christians. And you heard just a couple of weeks ago in the middle of Sunday morning services, gunmen on motorcycles surrounded and opened fire on worshipers at St. Moses Catholic Church and Maranatha Baptist Church in Kaduna State, Nigeria. Three Christians were killed and more than 30 were reportedly kidnapped. And it's just a story I want to talk to you about. It was 2 weeks ago on Pentecost Sunday. Before that, a tragic shooting at a Catholic church in Awa, southwestern Nigeria, got unique international attention. During the church service, this was on Pentecost Sunday, gunmen opened fire upon the congregation and detonated explosives. Initial reports said that at least 50 people were killed, including women and many young children. And now, of course, that has been changed to 40, but it's still horrific. Many more were injured. Doctors and volunteers scrambled to provide aid and begged the community to donate blood. Now, the government's interior minister blamed Islamic State West Africa Province, which is ISWAP, for the attack, but the group has yet to claim responsibilities. And I want to talk about this Christian genocide, it's literally what it is, happening in Nigeria. For over a decade, violence against Christians has been raging across Nigeria, mainly in the north, as shootings, mobs, Islamic militants, church burnings, and kidnappings strike daily and often unreported in the Nigerian community. In fact, Open Doors, which is an excellent voice for the persecuted Christians all over the world, ruled that Nigeria is the most violent place in the world for Christians, with over 4,000 Christians. We have to get this straight. 4,000 Christians murdered in 2021 alone. Nigeria is roughly half Christian, half Muslim. Now, Christians are the majority in the southern half of Nigeria, while Muslims hold the majority in the north, according to the State Department. Islamic militant groups like ISWAP and Boko Haram, in addition to nomadic Fulani herdsmen, have targeted Christians for various reasons, for land, for resources, and ransom money. But here is what I want to center in on today. There is also a large religious component. that Christians are attacked without consequence. In May, Deborah Samuel, a Christian university student, was beaten and burned to death by a Muslim mob who accused her of blaspheming Islam in a WhatsApp message. What she really said in this message was that Jesus Christ is the greatest and praised him for helping her pass her exams. She said that in a WhatsApp thing. Her horrific murder was videotaped, an awful thing. Church leaders like Methodist pastor Samuel Kananchi are often kidnapped by gangs or Islamic militants and ransomed at high prices, with some killed while they're in captivity. Similar events happen daily to thousands of Christians, women, and girls. Leah Sherabu, you've heard her story in the news for several years. A young Christian woman who was kidnapped at 14 years of age has been in Boko Haram's captivity for over 4 years because she has refused to convert to Islam. Now, despite pleas from her family and NGOs, the Nigerian government has done little, and I say little, to rescue her. The Nigerian government and President Muhammadu Buhari have taken few steps to stop the bleeding in the country. If anything, the government has cut off the handful of ways Christians can protect themselves. The Nigerian Senate recently passed a law making it a crime punishable with 15 years in prison for the families of kidnapped victims to pay ransom to return their sons or daughter. With little assurance of government rescue attempts, as in the case of Leah Sherabu, families of kidnapping victims, well, they have very few options. Here's what the Nigerian government says. It's secular and tolerant, and it values religious freedom. And yet it is the most violent country in the world for a religious group that composes nearly half of the nation's religious population. Now, Christian leaders in Nigeria have repeatedly called out President Buhari and the Nigerian government's inaction. And at a recent funeral for the victims of Awi massacre, Emmanuel Badajo said the government has failed to exhibit any desire to protect the Christian religion. Now, there are steps, I want to point out, there are steps the U.S. can take to effect change here in Nigeria. However, the Biden administration and the State Department have backtracked progress meant to hold the Nigerian government accountable for the religious freedoms in their country. In other words, they say they're going to do something, and then they backtrack. In November, the State Department removed Nigeria's designation as a country of particular concern. The CPC designation is ideally accompanied by sanctions to motivate the improvement of religious freedom conditions in designated countries. And so instead of putting the pressure on the Nigerian government to take steps to guarantee religious freedom, they removed this particular hold on their government. The U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom has recommended Nigeria for the CPC list since 2009, and the State Department did at long last in 2020 designate Nigeria as a CPC, a country of particular concern, but it was shortly removed a year later without explanation or improvement in the country. Well, what was a year later? The Biden administration. Biden's Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, has yet to provide a substantial reason for removing Nigeria from the country of particular concern, where there are sanctions to improve religious freedom. Secretary Blinken determined that Nigeria did not meet the criteria to be designated as a country of particular concern. Really? That's amazing. Nigerian Christian leaders struggled to make sense of the U.S.'s decision, as it seems both their own government and the U.S. have abandoned them. In a statement, the bishop said that there is nothing on the ground to suggest that Christians have an easier time practicing their faith in Nigeria today than they did one or two years ago. He asked the State Department to reassess its decision and worried that glossing over the suffering of Nigerian Christians would jeopardize the CPC listing's credibility. Violence against Christians continues to rage in Nigeria. Bandits, extremists are given the green light to terrorize. Nothing the government in Nigeria is doing, nothing that our government is doing. So they continue to kidnap, to kill Christian communities. And so we, the Christians, the human rights activists, are calling on the Biden administration to step up in the wake, particularly of the recent events and the ongoing violence. The path is clear. Redesignate Nigeria as a country of particular concern and motivate the Nigerian government to take action. President Biden and the State Department have the opportunity to show Nigeria that the U.S. will not tolerate apathy towards a decade of bloodshed. This article is on the Christian Post. And it was from Thursday, June 23rd, but it is a very excellent article that I've been reading to you. This is the normal life for Christians in Nigeria. And the Bible says very clearly in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Jesus says in John chapter 15, verses 19 through 20, "If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecuted you. If they keep my word, they will also keep yours." And we shouldn't be surprised that unbelievers in the world hate Christians. It is an ongoing struggle that Christians have. But Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." We need to continue to stand up, be a voice, speak out and pray for the Nigerian Christians and pressure our government and the Nigerian government to do something about the increasing bloodshed and the genocide that is going on in this country. I now want to feature for you this morning a very appropriate song for those of us who stand up for God's truth and become a voice for the persecuted. This is new music from Striper, "Rise to the Call." Brand new heavy metal Christian music from Striper, Rise to the Call. That'll wake you up. But it is a song that is dear to my heart because it really sums up why I do what I do. It's to rise up and to be a voice for my Iranian friends, for my Christian friends in Nigeria, for the suffering, persecuted Christian church all over the world. Well, today it has been a very special day. Just to be able to say welcome to the United States, Mary Mohammadi. For a very long time, she was struggling how to handle this situation. She didn't want to leave her family, didn't want to leave her friends, but she knew her life was in danger if she stayed in Iran. Very much thankful to Save the Persecuted Christians for helping Mary come to the United States. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Keep the Nigerian Christians in your prayer. Thank you so much for spending time with me this morning on the cross in the desert. As always, pray for the persecuted Christians all over the world who every day are standing up for the truth of the gospel and putting their lives on the line to be loyal and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. I will see you again on Monday on the cross in the desert. Have a great weekend.